And now the curtain rises.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to League Lore and More. Today we talk about the Virtuoso, otherwise known as Jin or Kata Jin, but officially the champion name is Jin, J-H-I-N, who is a marksman, an ADC, if you will. Came out in 2016. He is a long-range champion. His auto attacks aren't necessarily super long-range, but he has a long-range ability to catch someone, and then his ultimate is very long-range. Not global, though. So he's a bot laner playing ADC, and the unique thing about Jin is that he fires a gun that has four bullets. After four, you have to reload. And even more so, you fire three bullets, and then your fourth one will always do extra damage. It is like an empowered auto attack. So he kind of has a set function, I guess. We can run through his abilities here to get a better idea of that. I believe the fourth shot will also critically strike as well, just as a FYI. Jin's attack speed cannot be improved at all except through natural growth. So building attack speed on him won't affect the rate at which you fire. His Q is called Dancing Grenade. You select a unit that you're going to cast it on. It's point and click if you're in range. And a grenade goes on them, deals damage, and bounces up to three more times. I believe I'm not sure if it prioritizes enemies or not, though. It will, if it kills a unit, if the first one kills, anytime it bounces, if it kills a unit, the next time it'll deal increased damage to the next one that it hits. So it's important to use that on lower health enemies. His W is called Deadly Flourish. If somebody walks over his E, which we'll get to in a second, or are damaged by Jin or an ally champion, for 4 seconds they're marked, and Jin can fire his W, which is a straight line, long-range skill shot. And if it hits them, it roots them. So it's a good way to catch people. His E is called Captive Audience. Killing an enemy will spawn a blooming lotus trap beneath them, and then Jin can also use the ability actively to place lotus traps. And these, when people walk over them, it slows them, and after a few seconds it'll deal damage. You can walk out of the damage before it spawns, but if you walk over them, you might get rooted by his W, and then you take the damage from the trap. And then his ultimate is called Curtain Call. And so Jin kind of sets up. He roots himself. And this big range opens up. There's a set range on the sides. It kind of goes out in a triangle from Jin. And it goes really far and then wide out to the sides. And he fires four big shots from a bigger gun that he has. And they'll fire all the way to the edge of the range. And if you hit a champion, it'll slow them and deal damage to them. And the fourth one does, his normal weapon does, increased damage. Jin is a meticulous criminal psychopath who believes murder is art. Once an Ionian prisoner, but freed by shadowy elements within Ionia's ruling council, the serial killer now works as their cabal's assassin. Using his gun as his paintbrush, Jin creates works of artistic brutality, horrifying victims and onlookers. He gains a cruel pleasure from putting on his gruesome theater, making him the ideal choice to send the most powerful of messages, terror. So that's the kind of the brief look into Jin. He is the first champion to not actually appear in his own splash art. Instead, it is an image of him looking into a mirror. So you're seeing a mirrored image of Jin in his mask and kind of in his suit and everything. So I thought that was kind of neat. And more so, I think, than any other character we covered, Jin will be someone who does not fit the kind of mold that most of the other characters fit into in terms of, I guess, the style that League makes their characters, just much darker character than what we normally see. So I hope you find that interesting and learn some things. And I hope you enjoy the story of Jin.
I was paid to put on a killer show. Which is the lie? The mask or my face?
Jin the Virtuoso. One can travel to nearly any village across Ionia and hear the tale of the capture of the Golden Demon. Depicted in a variety of plays and epic poems, the cruel spirit's banishment is still celebrated to this day. But at the heart of every myth there lies a kernel of truth, and the truth of the Golden Demon is one far different than the fiction. For years, Ionia's southern mountains were plagued by the infamous creature. Throughout the province of Xun and even as far as Shenzhen and Galrin, a monster slaughtered scores of travelers and sometimes whole farmsteads, leaving behind twisted displays of corpses. Armed militia searched the forest, towns hired demon hunters, wudu masters patrolled the roads, but nothing slowed the beast's grisly work. In desperation, the Council of Xion sent an envoy to beg Great Master Kusho of the Kinku Order for help. Charged with maintaining the balance between the spirit and material realms, Kusho was adept in the banishment of demons. Leaving in secret lest the cunning creature be alerted to their intent, Kusho, his teenage son Shen, and young apprentice Zed traveled to the province. They tended to countless families shattered by the killings, dissected the horrific crime scenes, and looked for connections between the murders. Soon, Kusho realized they were far from the first to hunt this killer, and his conviction grew that this was the work of something beyond the demonic. For the next 4 years, the Golden Demon remained beyond their reach, and the long investigation left the three men changed. The famous red mane of Kusho turned white, Shen, known for his wit and humor, became somber, and Zed, the brightest star of Kusho's temple, began to struggle with his studies. It was almost as though the demon knew they were seeking it, and delighted in the torment sown by their failure. Upon finally finding a pattern to the killings, the Great Master is quoted as saying, "Good and evil are not truths. They are born from men, and each sees the shades differently." Kusho sought to hand off the investigation, believing now that they sought not a demon, but a wicked human, or Vestaya, taking them beyond the Kinku's mandate. Shen and Zed, unwilling to turn back after all they had sacrificed to bring the killer within reach, convinced him to continue the hunt. On the eve of the Spirit Blossom Festival in Jiom Pass, Kusho disguised himself as a renowned calligrapher to blend in with the other guest artists. Then he waited. Shen and Zed laid a carefully prepared trap, and at long last they found themselves face to face with their hated quarry. Kusho was proven right. The famed Golden Demon was a mere stagehand in Xun's traveling theaters and opera houses, working under the name Kara Jin. After they caught Jin, young Zed made to kill the cowering man, but Kusho held him back. He reminded his students that they had already broken their remit and that killing Jin would only worsen matters. Kusho worried that knowledge of Jin's humanity would undermine the harmony and trust that defined Ionian culture, or could even encourage others to commit similar crimes. Despite Jin's actions, the legendary master decided the killer should be taken alive and locked away within the monastery prison at Tula. Shen disagreed, but submitted to the emotionless logic of his father's judgment. Zed, disturbed and haunted by the horrors he had witnessed, was unable to understand or accept his mercy, and it is said a resentment began to bloom in his heart. Imprisoned in Tula, Jin kept his secrets, revealing little of himself as many years went by. The monks guarding him noted he was a bright student who excelled in many subjects, including smithing, poetry, and dance. Regardless, they could find nothing to cure him of his morbid fascinations. Meanwhile, outside the monastery's walls, Ionia fell into turmoil as the Noxian Empire invaded, and war awoke the tranquil nation's appetite for bloodshed. Jin was freed from Tula sometime after the war with Noxus, possibly put to use by one of the many radical elements vying for power of the First Lands near the conflict's end. He now has access to the Kashuri Armory's new weapons, though how he came to possess such implements of destruction and what connection he has to Kashuri is still a mystery. Whoever his shadowy patrons might be, they have endowed Jin with nearly unlimited funds and seem unconcerned by the growing scale of his performances. Recently, he attacked members of Zed's Yanlei Order, and mass murders and assassinations bearing his signature flair have occurred not only across Ionia's many regions, but also in distant Piltover and Zaun. It seems that all of Runeterra might be but a canvas for the atrocity that it is Kadah Jin's art, and only he knows where the next brushstroke will fall.
In carnage, I bloom like a flower in the dawn.
Jin's story is called The Man with the Steel Cane by Odin Austin Schaefer. Juan. The gun in his hand was simply a tool, but a perfectly crafted one. Gold type was inlaid into the blackish-green metal. It spelled the smith's name. This detail spoke of its creator's pride and confidence. It was not a Piltoven weapon, those gaudy things that attempted to function with the minuscule amounts of magic available in those lands. This gun was made by a true forge master, magic pulsed from its bronze Ionian heart. He wiped the gun's stock a fourth time. He couldn't be sure it was clean until he wiped it down four times. Didn't matter that he hadn't used it. Didn't matter that he was only going to stow it in the bag under the bed. He couldn't put it away until he was sure it was clean. And he couldn't be sure it was clean until he had wiped it down four times. It was getting clean, though. Four times makes it clean. It was clean, and it was wonderful. His new patrons had been generous, but did the finest painters not deserve the finest brushes? The scale and precision of the new device made his previous work with blades seem insignificant by comparison. Understanding firearm mechanics had taken him weeks of study, but evolving his Kai techniques from blades had taken months. The gun held four shots. Each bullet had been infused with magical energy. Each bullet was as perfect as a Lasalin monk's blade. Each bullet was the paint from which his art would flow. Each bullet was a masterpiece. It didn't just cut apart the body, it rearranged it. The rehearsal at the mill town had already shown the gun's potential, and his new employers had been pleased with the work's reception. He had finished polishing it, but with the gun in his right hand, the temptation was too great. He knew he shouldn't, but he unpacked the black eelskin bodysuit. He drew the fingertips of his left hand across the slick surface of the clothes. The feel of the skin's oily surface quickened his breath. He picked up the tight leather mask, then, unable to help himself, slid it over his face. It covered his right eye and mouth. It constricted his breathing and removed his depth perception. Delightful. He was putting on the shoulder armor when the bells he'd hidden on the steps leading up to his room sounded. He quickly folded up the weapon and removed the mask. "Hello?" the maid asked through the door. The lilt in her voice had hinted to an upbringing far south of this town. "You did what I asked," he said. "Yes, sir. A white lantern every 4 yards, a red lantern every 16. "Then I can begin," Kadah Jin said as he swung open the door to his room. The woman's eyes widened as he exited his room. Jin was well aware of how he looked. Normally, it elicited pangs of self-conscious loathing, but today was a performance day. Today, Kadajin cut a slender, elegant figure as he walked out with a cane. He was hunched, and his cloak seemed to cover some huge deformity on his shoulder, but a jaunty stride belied this. He forcefully tapped the cane ahead of him as he marched toward the window. He tapped the frame rhythmically, three beats, then a fourth. His gold sparkled, his cream cloak flowed, and his jewels glittered in the sun. What is that? The maid asked, indicating Jin's shoulder. Jin paused for a moment to study the woman's cherubic face. It was round and perfectly symmetrical, a dull and predictable design. Removed, it would make a terrible mask. It's for the crescendo, my darling, Kara Jin said. From the inn's window, he had a clear view of the rest of the town in the valley below him. The performance had to be wonderful, but there was still so much work to do. The councilman would be returning this evening, and so far all of Jin's plans for tonight seemed uninspired. I brought some flowers for your room, the woman said, walking past him. He could have used someone else to place the lanterns, but he didn't. He could have changed clothes before opening his door, but he didn't. Now she had seen Kara Jin in his finery. The inspiration he needed was so obvious now, so preordained. There was never a choice. There was no escaping the art. He would have to make this maid's face more interesting. Two. The candied pork glistened on top of the five-flavor broth. The aroma entranced Shen, but he set aside his spoon. As the waitress left, she smiled and nodded in approval. The fat had yet to melt into the broth. Doubtless the soup was already excellent, but in a moment the flavor would be at its peak. Patience. Shen considered the interior of the White Cliffs Inn. It was deceptively simple and rough. The woodweavers had been masters, removing the tree bark and living leaves only where necessary. The candle on Shen's table flickered, wrongly. He slid away from the table, retrieving his blades from under his cloak. Your students are as quiet as a pregnant Warax, he said. Alone and dressed like a merchant, Zed entered the inn. Brushing past the waitress, he sat down three tables away. Every part of Shen wanted to dash at his foe, to avenge his father, but such was not the way of twilight. He calmed himself as he realized the distance was too far, even if only by the length of his index finger. Shen looked over at Zed, expecting to see him grin. Instead, his rival sighed. His skin was sallow, his dark folds hung beneath his eyes. Years I have waited, said Shen. Have I misjudged the distance? Zed asked wearily. Even if my head is cut off, I will still close and strike, Shen continued, sliding his foot backward and cocking it against the floor. Zed was 10 paces and one half of a finger length away. Your path's closer to mine. Your father's ideals were a weakness. Ionia could no longer afford them, Zed said. He leaned back in his chair, keeping himself just outside of the range Shen would need to strike a killing blow. I know that's not something I can make you understand, but I will offer you a chance for vengeance. Shen inched forward to the edge of his chair. I do not act because of vengeance. You defy the balance, for that you are damned. The golden demon escaped, Zed said simply. Impossible, Shen replied, feeling a hollowness that caught in his chest. Your father's greatest victory, and now again his foolish mercy has tarnished his legacy, Zed shook his head. You know what that thing is capable of. Then Zed leaned over the table, well within Shen's range, his neck intentionally exposed. And you know that we are the only two people who can get close enough to stop him. Shen remembered the first time he'd seen the body of someone killed by the infamous Kara Jin. His skin prickled from the memory, his teeth clenched. Only his father had been strong enough to still believe a merciful justice could be served. Something in Shen had changed that day, something in Zed had broken. Now that monster had returned. Shen put his swords on the table. He looked down at the perfect bowl of soup in front of him. Little droplets of the pork's fat oil shimmered on its surface, but he wasn't hungry anymore.
Three.
There was still no sign of Zed. It was disappointing, very disappointing. He certainly must have sought out his former friend. It was likely Zed was hiding, watching. Jin needed to be careful. From the jetty, Jin looked back to the foreign ship. The tide had come in, and the ship would be leaving in a few moments. He would have to return soon if he was going to perform in Zaun next month. Risk on top of risk. He stopped to check his reflection in a puddle. From the water, a worried elderly merchant stared back at him. Years of acting practice combined with his martial training had given him total control of his facial muscles. It was a common face, and he had given it an unexceptional expression. When he walked up the hill, Jin blended easily into the crowd. He checked the white lanterns above him, counting the distance. If Zed appeared, he would need them. At the inn on the top of the hill, he glanced at the planters where he had hidden traps, sharpened steel blades shaped like flowers. They protected his escape route in case anything went wrong. He thought of how the metal would slice through the crowd and splash the building's freshly painted teal walls with red. It was tempting. He was pushing through the crowd when he heard the village elder speaking to Shen. "Why would the demon attack her and the councilman?" the elder asked. Shen, dressed in his blue outfit, didn't answer. Another of the Kinku, a young woman named Akali, stood beside Shen. She walked to the doorway of the inn. "No," Shen said as he blocked her path. "What makes you think I'm not ready?" Akali demanded. "Because I wasn't when I was your age." At that moment, a town's guard stumbled from the entrance, his face pale and hollow. "Her flesh was... He took a few steps, then collapsed to the ground in shock. Against the far wall, the tavern's owner laughed. Then he began weeping, his face painted by madness. "He saw it. He saw the flower." These were not people who would forget seeing Kata Jin's work. Shen scanned the faces of the onlookers. Clever boy, Jin thought, before fading into the back of the crowd. He checked the rooftops for Zed as he walked back to the ship. The work was inescapable. Together or apart, Zed and Shen would chase the clues he had left. They would follow them back to the Blossom Festival, back to Jion Pass, and when they became desperate, then they would have to work together again. It would be like it had been when they were young. They would huddle together in awe and fear. Only then would the great Kata Jin reveal himself, and his true masterpiece would begin. Four.
It's so difficult to work under these conditions.
There we have the story of Jin. So apparently a very gruesome serial killer. Which I knew he was like kind of like a person like that, but I didn't, I guess, realize that he really takes pride in I know he refers to it as art and wants it to be performative and beautiful to him. I didn't realize like what that meant as terms of what he was doing to his victims, which makes it way darker. So kind of an off-color character for what the rest of the league champion pool is. Not that they should have five serial killer champions, but most of the time it's like, oh, it's like the villain is a person who's leading an army and they're at war, and they're, or like it's a person who's, he's a villain against this one person. They're one's a hero, one's a villain, they're fighting back and forth, not someone who's just going around kind of killing people for sport, not for sport, for art. So he's definitely a one of a kind character. And which is sad. He's fun to play, but then you also kind of feel weird knowing I mean, obviously it's make-believe, even though these things do happen in real life, you know,
It's not like I'm playing Jin and then I'm just like, ugh, I'm playing a serial killer. Like, if that was the case, I wouldn't play Dead by Daylight at all. Because if you play as the killer, then you're playing as basically take your pick of the serial killer that you're playing. That will conclude today's episode. And kind of had our loop closed there. So Jin had been mentioned in Zed's and Shen's stuff. So it was good to get his side of it, even though the biography was more or less just kind of the story of catching Jin. We don't know anything about his life, really, like where he grew up, anything like that. Truly a mystery man. And we don't know what his face looks like. He wears a mask for his character model, much like Shen and Zed. And so we will start a new line of characters next week and go from there. So thanks so much for listening, and I will see you all next time.
I have been planning your final performance for a very long time.